Philippians chapter 1, beginning there in verse 1, it says, Paul and Timotheus, or Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always and every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. For God is my record how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Now, there's quite a mouthful in all that Paul has said here, but I wanted to center our thoughts there in verse 5. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul speaking here to the Philippians concerning the fact that he prayed for them. And the reason that Paul prayed for them was because he had fellowship with them. Now, the word fellowship is one that is used in many different contexts, but it is one which essentially means that men are united together in a cause. That's essentially what fellowship is, that we come together for a cause. It is fellows or people who come together. And so it is that fellowship implies that there are things that are in common. You can't have fellowship with people that you don't like. You can't have fellowship with people that you have no common interest with. It's just, you don't have it. That's why Paul said that it is impossible for light and darkness to have fellowship. Why is that? Because they don't have anything in common. They're completely opposites of one another. So there can't be any mixture of light and darkness. You either have the light or you have darkness. You can't have a little bit of light and a little bit of darkness. So it is that he says here that he's thankful to the Lord and he prays for them and he is glad when he thinks about their fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. The very first work of God in the soul of a man unites that man to those who share that like experience. That's why it is that the brethren share a common bond that is not easily destroyed. Paul, when he was on the Damascus Road, had an experience that was totally different from any of the other apostles. The other apostles had all been called out by the Lord directly in the normal course of life. They were mending their nets or sitting at their tax tables or doing whatever they were doing, and the Lord came along and he said, come and follow me. and they were with him during his ministry. When Paul came along, he said, "I was one born out of due time." In other words, I was not in the mix from the beginning, because he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was not involved with the gospel. He was breathing out threatenings and slaughterings against the church. He didn't have any fellowship with the church at all, did he? And yet he was one of the anointed men of God, called to be an apostle by his own admission. And yet he had no fellowship with the other apostles. He had no concern or desire to walk in the gospel. But he had something that happened to him that changed all of that immediately. All of a sudden, that which he despised, he embraced. That which he had no knowledge of, suddenly he had some understanding. And so it was that whenever he came among the early, among the other apostles, they brought him in there among the believers. Many of them said, "Wait a minute, this guy, we don't have anything." They said, "We don't have any fellowship with him." And yet, by the grace of God, the Lord gave some the understanding that something had occurred with him. And so they became his spokesman. And so they then, when they understood that what he was about was the same thing they were about, what did they have? They had fellowship. Now, until such time as that, they couldn't have fellowship. And so it is that we can't have fellowship with somebody simply because they say, "I am a Christian." Paul said, "I'm a Christian." They said, "Well, I don't know about that." But you see, God is able to take those things if they are real. Now, there are many who claim to be Christians who, by their testimony and according to the teaching that they embrace, we cannot have fellowship with them. Because why? There's nothing of a common cause that we share. But simply because we don't necessarily know if we can have fellowship with them doesn't mean that we can't. Because the Lord is able to take our understandings and show us that indeed there are those who love the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we don't just openly fellowship with everybody, but we do have fellowship with those who with like mind in the knowledge of Jesus Christ confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord of glory. And we do have fellowship in that manner with them. Now, Paul's speaking of something that is not just a flippant type of fellowship. Now, there's a measure in which we have fellowship of a sort with all those who confess that they are the followers of Christ and give evidence of trusting in Christ alone. There is a measure of fellowship that we have with them. But the fellowship that he's talking about here is a fellowship that only arises as brethren are put together in some measure and fashion wherein they come together and they share with one another those things that they believe and hold to. Now that is what the church is. This word fellowship is a word, koinonia, which, that's the Greek word, koinonia, and that is the word that's used consistently 16 times in the Scripture, in the New Testament, for the term fellowship. And that just literally means coming together in a cause. But it is that word which is most clearly associated with the coming together of the local assembly. And that's the place where we really have what Paul's speaking about here is not just a type of fellowship, but a real fellowship. Because we are come together as brethren who share a common desire. Brethren who share a common goal. Brethren who share things in common. That's what Paul said. He said, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. If one member suffers, all the members suffer. See, that's what fellowship is. Fellowship is not just belonging to something and having no concern for those who belong to the same thing. I mean, you can join the Elks Club and have a form of fellowship with your fellow Elks, but that's not the fellowship he's talking about here. Because the fellowship that he's talking about here is the fellowship, what did he say, of the gospel. And the fellowship of the gospel is something that is far more in depth than joining the Elks Club. And you see somebody walking down the street and you say, oh, well, he's a member of the same club I am. Now, the sad thing is that in today's society and in the religious world, there is very little emphasis placed on the fellowship that Paul is speaking about here. And the mindset of the average person who attends a church is they could be attending the Elks Lodge in about the same fashion because that's how they look at it. Well, we're going to church. We're going to the meeting. We're going to the Elks meeting. We're going to the church meeting. But you see, the fellowship that Paul's speaking about here is something totally different than just going to a meeting. We don't just meet together because we want to meet. I mean, you can meet with anybody about anything. But you see, the fellowship of the saints is a coming together of heart and mind. It is that which only the Lord can bring to pass. I mean, it's impossible for men to decide, well, I'm going to love my brother as myself. I'm going to esteem the brethren more highly than myself. You can't just decide to do that. Oh, you can decide to do it all day long, but will it come to pass? But you see, if God is pleased to cause fellowship to exist among the saints, that's what you'll have. And it's only in that fellowship in the gospel, that which he's describing here, that there is a bond one to the other. Because it's a bond that goes beyond merely what we think. I had some discussions with a fellow here recently, and he made the statement that the only thing that will keep a church together is sound Bible preaching. And I did not disagree that that is a very important part of what keeps a church together, but I believe this is the truth of the matter. The only thing that will keep the church, a church together in the scriptural sense, is the fellowship of the saints, which is brought on by the love of the brethren one for the other. Because you might not like something that I do or say or think or whatever, and you might fall out with me. And if the only thing that you have in common with me is what I preach, then we won't have any fellowship anymore, will we? Happens all the time. But you see, if men love one another in Christ, as Paul is speaking about here, it doesn't rule out sound doctrine. We're not in any wise saying, well, just anything goes or whatever you want to preach, because it is sound doctrine that gives us a place that brings our mind and heart to focus on Jesus Christ. Now, any doctrine that anybody preaches that does not cause the hearers to focus on Christ and Christ alone is not something that those who believe that can have fellowship with, is it? I mean, can you have fellowship with somebody who believes that Christ partially saved His people, or He might save His people, or He hoped to save His people? Can you have fellowship with that? I have to confess to you, I certainly cannot. Because to me, that is the destruction of the gospel. It's not the proclamation of the gospel. It's robbing God of glory. It's not giving Him the glory. See, at the end of the day, the preaching of the gospel and that gospel in which we have fellowship is that which leaves us desiring to exalt Christ and just forgets all about us. Forgets all about what we could bring to the table. What you should have done or what you shouldn't have done or this, that, or the other. Now, all of that has a place where we need to consider it. But you see, the fellowship of the gospel in the preaching of the gospel is that we fellowship in the finished, complete work of Jesus Christ with nothing added to it. Zero. You can't add to it. You can't enhance it. You can't cause it to be better in any fashion. What Christ did is the sum and substance of all that we rest upon. And we don't desire to see anybody else exalted. Now, there's a lot of talented people in the world, is there not? And there's a lot of talented people among God's people. But we don't desire to see those talents exalted. I think it's a glorious thing when a man uses the talents that he has for the glory of God. What a glorious thing. But the focus is not on the talents. See, our fellowship is not, oh, what a great preacher he is. Now, there's plenty of churches that their fellowship is that. Oh, you need to come hear old brother so-and-so. He's just the greatest preacher that's ever been. And oh, he goes like a house of fire, and everybody loves preacher so-and-so. Well, then preacher so-and-so leaves town, and guess what? They don't have any fellowship anymore. Well, that's a fellowship in the wrong thing, is it not? And so our fellowship is in the gospel. It's not in the preacher. It's not in any individual. It's not in any individual's talents or abilities. Oh, you need to come and come to our church because we have the greatest music program you'd ever want to listen to. Fantastic. Come and you can just sit back and just be swept away. Is that the place where God's people can have fellowship? What happens if the sound system goes down one Sunday? And it don't sound so good and nobody's swept away. No, it's not in all of that stuff. You see, our fellowship is in the gospel. Our fellowship is in Christ. And that's what Paul said from the very beginning. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. Because you see, our fellowship one with the other is that which brings joy to our heart, is it not? I mean, if you don't have joy in the coming together with God's people to magnify the name of Christ, if that doesn't cause you joy, then you can't have fellowship with those in whom it does, can you? I would say it would be impossible. Because you see, that is the work of the Spirit of God, to give God's people joy in the Holy Ghost. Is it not? Now, some people think that joy in the Holy Ghost is something that is always external. But joy in the Holy Ghost is a work that is done in the heart. Now, it may have an external manifestation, and there's certainly nothing wrong with that. But it's not the thing. We're not looking for the external manifestation of that, because that's not where our fellowship is. Now, that is where the fellowship of some folks is. They want to get together and say, who can do just be the most out of control? I've been in some places like that. And I mean, the more out of control he got, the more out of control he got. And everybody was saying, man, this is great. And I'm sitting there, what in the world is going on? Because that's not the place where those who are seeking to exalt Christ and Christ alone can have what? Fellowship. Because you see, it is in Christ. Our fellowship, that's what Paul's saying here. Our fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto now. It doesn't change. No, we're not into this week. Oh, come, we're having a series on Bible prophecy. Come, and we'll have great fellowship as we count the hairs on the horse's tail and see the beasts rising out of the ocean and who they are and what they're going to do and all that. Just come and, oh, you'll be carried away. It's not about all those kind of things, but it's about Christ. You can go through the book of Revelation and you can see some wondrous things, but I'm going to tell you this. If you go through the book of Revelation and you don't see Christ, you've missed it. Because the book is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And He's the one in whom we have fellowship. Not in how well a fellow might predict the future, or be able to tell you what army is going to destroy which one when or whatever. Our fellowship is in Christ. That's why Paul said, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Why? Because he knew that that was the place where true fellowship, true lasting fellowship, is going to be found. And that's what he's talking about here to these Philippians. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. Oh, we've got to have a committee that figures out ways to promote fellowship among the children of God, in the church. We need to have a committee that says, well, we're going to go to this restaurant this week and everybody's going to get together and go bowling and we're going to do all these things and that'll help us to have fellowship. Now, I'm not saying there's anything in the world wrong with God's people having friendships and fellowships with one another, but that's not the fellowship he's talking about here. Because you see, all of those kind of things can wax and wane. You might like a certain kind of activity. You might like bowling for a while, but you might get tired of it after a while and not want to do it anymore. But you see, this is what he says here, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. See, there's the place where we have fellowship, is in the knowledge that if God, who is rich in mercy, with the great love wherewith He loved us, if He has called God's people out of the darkness and into the light, He will continue to work in them until the day of Jesus Christ. It's not a fame thing. It's not something that we've got to keep going. We don't have to keep fanning the flame. Now, the preaching of the gospel is a fanning of the flame, but it's a fanning of the flames of the fellowship of the gospel, of the knowledge of what Christ has done, and not a fanning of fleshly flames trying to keep everybody on the same track. There's no way that the children of God can have fellowship one with the other if that fellowship is not centered in the person of Jesus Christ and their desire to see Christ magnified in one another. See, I want to see you built up in the most holy faith. I'm not satisfied if I see you going astray. ye which are spiritual, if a brother be overtaken in a fault, he said, ye which are spiritual, do what? Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest ye also be tempted. We are our brother's keeper. Now that doesn't mean that we constantly go about trying to get one another to do exactly what we think. But when we see somebody straying away from that which they at one time were strong in, then we have a necessity to pray for them first, to desire their fellowship, to seek that that fellowship be restored insofar as we are able. But the fellowship has to be Christ. See, it's not about compromise. Well, we're going to compromise. No, there's no compromise in fellowship. You don't compromise when you fellowship. Fellowship is coming together. Politics is compromise. That's the art of compromise. We're not interested in politics. As far as what we're talking about here, we're not concerned about trying to get this one happy and that one happy and all of that kind of stuff. Well, my feelings got hurt. Well, I'm sorry if your feelings ever get hurt. You know, but our purpose is not one another's feelings. It's the truth of God in Christ Jesus. Now, having said that, we are concerned with one another's feelings. And that's exactly what he says here. But we know that if Christ is in you, that we know that if God has begun a good work in you, He will perform it. And the best way for God's people to be recovered from error is what? Exactly. It's the preaching of the truth. You see, the preaching of the gospel, the exaltation of Christ, that solves all the ills of God's people. Now, when they are not attentive to this, they can't be built up in the most holy faith, can they? If they don't show up. How can you have fellowship with somebody you never see? It's impossible. Can't you do it? How can you have fellowship with somebody that you think of in an offhanded way? I mean, when Paul thought about the Philippians, he thought about the bond that he had. He didn't just think about them when he showed up on whatever day they met or whenever he actually physically saw them. They were on his heart. They were part of him, he said. I have fellowship with you. Because see, he wasn't even with them, but he said, I'm having fellowship with you. How's that? Because you're on my mind, you're on my heart, I'm bearing your burdens, I'm praying for you. I'm concerned about you. If you have a need, I'm concerned about that. Bear one another's burdens. Always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy. This is not a duty. Oh no, now we got to go and spend some time praying. We could be watching TV, but we need to pray for the brethren, so I guess we'll go do it. That's not fellowship. No, fellowship is in the gospel. It is a love that we have for one another, which is brought about by the love that we have for the Savior. And the Spirit of God is that one that does the work. See, I can't cause you to love me. I can't cause you to love the brethren. I can't cause you to have fellowship with the brethren. Only the Spirit of God can. But Paul said, I'm confident of this, that the reason that we have fellowship is that God has begun a work in you. And He, having begun a work in you, He'll perform it. Because He knew this, if He didn't perform it, it wasn't going to happen. Is that correct? I mean, if the Lord doesn't cause us to have fellowship, we're not going to do it. Now, fellowship is a thing that cannot be abused in its pure form. Now, oftentimes, in the flesh, men will seek to take advantage of the ostensible fellowship that they have with someone. And they'll say, oh, well, you know, old brother so-and-so, I'm going to see if I can't get him to help me. Because we have fellowship with one another. And so we set out, or it often happens that a man considers that the fellowship that he has obligates somebody. Now, one of the greatest problems, I think, that happens among God's people is that they look one-sided at things. And this is because of the flesh. Now, the natural man, because we're dealing with him every day, and we often look one-sided at things. And we look at when Paul said, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. If we have a burden, we get to thinking, well, you know, if they really loved me, they'd help me with this burden. Well, that might be true. But see, that's not for you to think, is it? Because our fellowship's in Christ. And whether they help me or whether they don't, it doesn't make any difference. That doesn't affect our fellowship, if our fellowship is in Christ. Because the same Paul that said, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, also said, each man bear his own burden. See, every one of us is to bear our own burden. And the thought of that is that as we consider our problems, they're our problems. They're not anybody else's problems. It's not up to you to solve my problems. My problems are my problems. I caused 99% of every problem I've ever had. My fault. Totally. You know, it's not a little bit my fault. It is my fault. It's my problem. Now, on the other hand, fellowship causes brethren to say, he's got a problem. Wonder if I can help him. Now the flesh says, well, he's got a problem, but he caused it himself. If he'd have done thus and so, he wouldn't have ever had that problem. I ain't doing anything. See, that's the flesh. That's not the fellowship of Christ, is it? I mean, what if Christ had treated his disciples like that? Man, I mean, there wouldn't have been no God. There wouldn't have been anything we got here with it. He'd have cast them all off to start with. I mean, when he went to pray and he came back and they were asleep, he woke them up and then he went back and he came back again and they were asleep again. Brother, fellowship in Christ calls us to recognize the weaknesses of one another and the weaknesses of ourself. And if you can ever get a handle on that, that you are a weak and beggarly creature who deserves nothing, and your brethren are weak and beggarly creatures who deserve nothing, but yet, because of the love which is given to me in Christ, for Christ, he said, love your neighbor as yourself. And so when we have a problem, we desire to be helped with that problem, don't we? And so if we see a brother with a problem, then if we love him as we do ourselves, what would we do? Seek to help him. I mean, that's just the way it is. And if we don't look at other brethren as we look at ourselves from the standpoint of the accused. Now, you can accuse yourself all day long. You've got free rein to do it because you need to accuse yourself quite often. and recognize that it's your fault. But that's not how you look at the problem. See, what was the problem with those, the miserable comforters of Job, the physicians of no value? It wasn't that they weren't right some of the time in what they their assessment of things. But the problem was they didn't really offer help to Job. They tried to straighten him out, didn't they? They didn't come and just try to help him. They said, well, now, Job, if you would do this, this would be the thing that would happen. Now, I'm not saying there's not sometimes when that needs. Obviously, the Scripture points out the fact that if a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. But I'm talking about in the fact of when a person is in a place of need. And so it is, whatever that falls into. And our needs run the gamut of all sorts of things. But the greatest place that you can meet the needs of God's people is in the place of prayer. And that's where Paul said he was. And that was the reason why he said that I remember your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And it's precious to me. He said, I'm bound to you. See, when the Lord gives you fellowship with somebody, you can't escape it. You can run, but you can't hide. You can decide to do this, and you can decide to do that. But when God gives you fellowship one with the other, that's a work that He performs, and He'll perform it until the end. And so, whenever brethren fall out with one another over the stupidest stuff that they do, it's because they don't have fellowship one with the other in Christ. Because it doesn't make any difference where you go or what you do or whatever. If Christ has begun a good work in you, and He has begun a good work in me, and we are brethren together in Christ, fellowship with Christ in the gospel, then we're bound together with ties that cannot be broken. And if those ties can be broken, then it's something other than fellowship. Oh, what a sweet thing. What a blessed thing to be brought into that place that Paul's speaking about here. For your fellowship in the gospel until now. It's more than just what we preach, although that is vitally important. You can't have fellowship in the gospel if you don't preach the gospel. You can have fellowship in a lot of stuff surrounding the gospel, but you can't have fellowship in the gospel if you're not preaching the gospel. And so, if we have fellowship in the gospel, it's a sweet thing. And it's that which has ramifications beyond just meeting together and hearing somebody preach. I mean, if that's all we're doing, just meeting together to hear somebody preach, I mean, you can turn the radio on and hear somebody preach. Most of it ain't worth listening to, but you can every now and then find something that's worth hearing. And so if that's what our fellowship's about, then it's of no good. But you see, the fellowship in the gospel is greater than that. It's more intense than that. It's more aggravating than that. Because you see, there's no excuses. Paul said, my little children love one another. Why did he say that? Because he said, we've got fellowship in Christ. What else are we going to do other than love one another? If we have fellowship in the gospel, as Paul speaks about there in Philippians.